this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 675. I am Lisa Sheps, as I am on Wednesdays, and I am joined today by guest host extraordinaire, the one, the only, Matrix Kilgore.
Hey, y'all. So glad to join you.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do on Wednesdays at KOOP.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
You can laugh. It is Wednesday, June 29th. 2022. On the show today, we have Jarrett Productions and their radio show, Pet Dick. And then the City Theater is going to be here later and talking about their show, Picasso et le Pas en Gilles. And of course, Matrix and I are going to have a lovely discussion of the world of theater in New York, Austin, Chicago, Boston, and Paris, France. Stick around. Nowadays, Matrix Kilgore.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show. You're my co-host today.
I know. I'm so excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here.
This is like one of my dreams, Lisa. You don't.
Well, you've done it before, haven't you?
Yes, but like now I'm like a co-host. I feel like, you know, I'm legitimate.
So you've never co-hosted before?
Never.
I know. I've asked you about 1,000 times.
I know.
Well, I am glad you're here. We're gonna say a little bit more and talk about a little bit of stuff what you're up to, but I do want to say that I played that song. Did you recognize the song I played just then? It's called Nowadays.
Yes.
From Chicago. Which had its, I think, 25,000th performance. No, 25th anniversary and its 10,000th performance.
That's a lot. A lot of nowadays.
That's a lot of nowadays. That's like 10,000 of them.
Yeah.
If I'm doing my math correctly. well, let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us in our studio audience. We have the incomparable David Jarrett with us. Hi, David.
Hi there, Lisa. Hi there, Matrix.
And the equally incomparable Carlo Lorenzo Garcia. Hi.
There's some comps, I think, out there. Hi, how are you doing, Lisa? Matrix. There's some comps out there.
There's some comps. I don't think so. So I want to thank Kim Simpson once again for a wonderful International Folk Bazaar. It's always so much fun to have that music preceding this show. And that's it. When we're talking about, has anybody seen Chicago, the musical?
Yes, many times.
Yes, of course. Many times.
Not 10,000. But.
Yeah, not 10,000. I've also seen it many times. Not easy to do. So our listeners probably know the history of Chicago. It opened and it flopped originally. And then it was redone at City Center Encores with this new cast. This is considered the revival in, I think, 1996. But it has played in 36 countries and has seen by 33 million people.
Wow. Mm. Last year I saw
That's like my
high
last
school.
TikTok.
I saw high school do it. It was wonderful.
As part of the Heller Awards?
Yes.
Yeah, or the Heya Awards, excuse me. Well, that's awesome. Well, that's interesting that we're going to be talking about the Jimmys, which is equivalent to that. So that's why we played Chicago. I like Chicago.
I loved it.
Just saying. And I don't know how a lot of people felt. I liked the movie version as well. I thought it was one of the better done movie musicals.
It was a well done movie version. I don't typically like the movie versions of musicals, but that one was well done.
Yeah, I agree.
And it sort of brought back movie musicals.
Yep. It did. In a way. Yep. It was the first one that was back the way it was.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know what that meant.
Yeah, there was.
I'm so articulate. It's crazy. Well, we did have one opening off-Broadway in the past week, and that is, I'm going to call it Corsicana, because I'm from Texas,
and
I used to pass
Corsicana,
which is what the national press is calling it.
No.
Yeah, it's Corsicana, and it takes place in Corsicana. It's a Will Aubrey
piece, and it was reviewed by the New York Times by Mr. Jesse Green. And he said, I'm going to read the first two paragraphs because I found that kind of interesting. He says, quote, the difference between comedy and tragedy is often just a matter of timing. Bring the curtain down early enough and Macbeth can have a happy ending. Huh. In the backstory of a play full of laughs, you'll also find a bucket of tears. Will Aubrey's Corsicana, which opened Wednesday at Playwrights Horizon, is that second kind of play. If its story began any earlier than it does, then it would be an emotional bloodbath. Instead, without ignoring the bone-deep sadness of the characters confused and stymied by loss, it lets us watch them climb their way out, heading towards joy and sharing some progress. It seems like an amazing piece, and this was two of the stars is Will Dagger, who plays Christopher, and Jamie Brewer, who plays Ginny. And Jamie Brewer is an autistic, Down syndrome actor, who made her fame in Amy and the Orphans, if y'all remember when that opened.
Yeah, that was just a few years back.
Yeah, which is something I wanted to do at Ground Floor Theater, but didn't.
Not yet.
If I'm honest,
we have considered it also.
Well, no, it's a great chain. I wish you would do it. And there are Down syndrome actors here in town that you can use. I was all set to do it. I got outvoted in my own company, so I wasn't able to do it. But the show is a critic's pick, and it's what I found. Another interesting quote that I want to do from Jesse Green's review is he said, "Watching it, I felt it was about who gets to make art and for whom. Reading it, I felt it was about becoming grown is, for anyone, a lifelong process of failing upward. Thinking back on it, I feel it was about the way the world, tasks beauty inside envelopes of sorrow and vice versa." Ooh.
I like that writing. That writing makes me want to go see
this. Which is weird. It's Jesse Green, who I don't always like. But it looks amazing. It is directed, is it Sam Mendes? Sam Gold. I knew it was Sam. But it looks pretty amazing. Playwrights Horizons.
Yep.
Delightful. When we going?
Tomorrow.
I love it.
So that's that.
How long is it playing?
You should ask me that. It plays through July 10th.
Well, I can't go tomorrow. So.
There you go. You can make it. You know what? I want to stop and take a moment because I meant to do this the very first thing. Matrix Kilgore. I love that you are co-hosting for your very first time. I truly thought it had been more, but I want you to tell folks, I think most everybody in the theater community here in Austin knows who you are because you're just such a wonderful director and actor and all-around theater maker. But you took a new position just recently. Tell folks what you're doing.
Yeah, recently I just transitioned into working at Texas Commission on the Arts as a program administrator. So I work with now the theater organizations across the state and dance organizations across the state giving out state funding for the arts. And I work with arts education across all mediums. So it's like perfect for where my life has been lining up. And I'm excited to meet a larger community of folks and spread the awesome things that we have in Austin and see how we can make that amplify across the state.
Yeah, it's so great. So, you know, we've had a lot of, Ground Floor Theater's had a lot of dealings with the Texas Commission on the Arts. And the people there have always been really wonderful to us. But it's now so nice to know that I know someone there. And that it's not just a name and a voice or an email. It's an actual person that I know and love.
Yeah, and that's part of my favorite part of why I took the position, to make it more a community-based sort of position and also a connection for the theater community and the arts community in Texas to get out and meet folks and talk.
Well, I guess it's good to work for the state of Texas in an agency that's benevolent as opposed to many other agencies in Texas.
And progressive.
Not so. And progressive. And I should say that the opinions I'm expressing right now are not those necessarily of Co-op, the board of directors, or staff, but simply my own opinion.
Yeah, it is. It's great. We give around 4,000 grants a year across the state. So it is nice to be a part of an agency that really makes an impact and amplifies the economic and cultural impact of the arts across the state of Texas.
Well, that's cool. And I am so glad you're doing it. Speaking of organizations that are giving money, the Schuberts just announced that they gave their funding out. So guess how much money they gave out in this last round of grants?
$15 million.
$15 million. David Jarrett,
million.
25.
I'll play Price is Right and go 28.
Well, I'm going to go 37.6.
That's because you have that in front of your face.
That's true, so I win. They gave out $37.6 million in unrestricted grants. So unrestricted grants, for those that don't know it, is a huge deal. It's like, I'm giving you this money, you can spend it any way you like, which is very rare. And then they gave $1 million gift to two HBCUs. One was Morehouse, and the other was Spelman, which is awesome.
Yeah,
it's really, really great. But here in Austin, they gave money to three theater companies and two dance companies. The theater companies were Zach, Austin Playhouse, and Ground Floor Theater. So we were able to get a little bit of that. And then they gave money to Ballet Austin and something else. I forgot.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty big deal. We were very, very, very honored to do that. The Schubert Grants Program has been since 1977, and it's given more than $575 million.
They're one of the largest funders in the country, aren't they, for the unrestricted funds for the arts?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll say yes, because that sounds good.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's what I read on the website today.
Yeah, so they gave that $37.6 million to 609 artists. Oh, it just dawned on me, Matrix, since you have the script in front of you, you had the answer written right on the script because I put it there.
Oh, reading is essential.
And you still didn't win.
He's just sucking up.
So in honor of Miss Nicole Shiro, I have to talk about it. This does not excite me as much as it excites her, and it excites her a lot, is the Back to the Future musical, which came from the West End, is going to come onto Broadway in 2023.
I cannot wait.
Okay, well, good. So it seems to be an affliction of my co-host.
It's about time, I think.
It is it's actually currently running at the West End, and it's gotten great reviews.
My friend Courtney Santana literally just watched it, and I can't wait for her to get
back.
Oh,
she was in London?
Yeah.
We love Courtney Santana.
Yeah. I think she's watching Tina.
No. Yeah, I want to see that, too.
Yeah.
But she's in London. She should go see Aunt Juliet. Just saying. That's one I would like to see. But Back to the Future is coming in. We don't know when. It was a tweet, and it had the trailer, which you can see on the Twitters. I mean, I love Back to the Future, but I'm not as excited about it as others. The music and lyrics are written by Glenn Ballard and Alan, Silvestri. Bob Gale wrote the book, along with Robert Zemeckis, who wrote the movie.
I feel like there's so much subtext.
Or directed the movie, sorry.
There's so much subtext in Back to the Future that I can't wait to hear sung. Just when you watch the movie, there's just so much subtext to it.
True.
And now you'll be able to hear it in song.
Well, here, I'll sing it for you. Yeah, it's the power of love.
Oh, a little Huey Lewis.
Whoa.
That's the news for you.
But it did win the 2022 Olivier for Best Musical. So there you go. And speaking of long-term musicals, did you see that Andrew Lloyd Webber is teaming up with Antonio Banderas? Mm-hmm. And Antonio Banderas' company has been doing a lot of musicals in Spanish in Spain. He did Fame. We've talked about it here on the show. Chorus Line and Company, amongst others. So Andrew Lloyd Webber and Antonio Banderas are starting a formal partnership with a company called Amigos para Siempre, Friends Forever. And then there's a lovely picture of ALC and AB.
That is a lovely picture.
It is. They're going to be producing musicals, stage plays, and live entertainment for major markets in the Spanish-speaking world. And the rights are the Spanish language rights are going to revert to this new company from the Really Useful Group.
I'm excited about that. There's so many more people going to get access to his work.
Yeah, so it's not only going to be ALC, AL, Andrew Lloyd Webber, ALW. What's ALC? ALC? That's something.
Austin Landon Cattle.
I think I was thinking AOC.
Oh, AOC. But,
God love her. Keep going. So that's very interesting. But some of the upcoming productions are going to include, and you'll recognize these titles because of who's involved, The Phantom of the Opera, Sunset Boulevard, Starlight Express, Jesus Christ Superstar, Evita, Cinderella, Joseph, and School of Rock. Who here likes Joseph?
I do.
I do.
I do too.
This is one of my favorite plays.
Nicole doesn't like it, I don't think. She's gonna text me any minute now. I do too like it, but I don't think she does. I love Joseph. Yeah,
that's on the playlist that I sing to my daughter now.
Oh, what song?
Yeah, all of it. We do the whole
thing. Wow, front that's a long singing. Well, she's a lucky girl. So Antonio Banderas, you know, we all know him as a movie star, but he's got a start, as many people do, on the stage. He's from Malaga in southern Spain. And he worked at the National Theater in Madrid, and he just kept doing good things.
And he was great in Evita.
Mm-hmm.
He was. Well, you know what? I couldn't watch the movie all the way through.
He was great in Shrek.
Yes.
That too.
We're going to talk about Shrek.
Oh, is there going to be a Shrek musical?
There is a Shrek musical. Yeah. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it after your section, but it's, well... But yeah, we'll just wait
it's
and talk about it.
Playing in Muta right now.
That's a spoiler alert.
There
spoiler
you go. Alert. Spoiler alert spoiled.
It's just been spoiled.
So are y'all familiar with the Jimmy Awards?
Yes.
Okay, so the Jimmy Awards are equivalent to what used to be called the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards. Now it's called the HEA Awards. And it's high school musicals, and they come in from around the country to compete. Austin is not one of the cities that is in that. But someday, maybe.
Someday.
Ginger Morris, who is amazing, and we're going to get her on the show really soon, actually. Is gonna make that happen.
But somebody from very close to here won.
Well, the people that won is from San Diego and
San Antonio.
No, San Diego.
That was the female. The male was from San Antonio.
Northeast School of the Arts. Doesn't say where he's from.
San Antonio.
Yeah, I think that.
Really? Not say San Antonio in here.
I just read it this morning.
Her name is Kendall Becerra, and his name is Nicholas Barón. She was in the Heights, and Barón represented Las Casas Foundation Josie Awards, but it did not mention San Antonio. But that's interesting. I did not know that.
Yep.
I did not know San Antonio was even in it. There were 92 nominees from 46 regional theater awards.
I believe Houston has one, the Tommy Toon Awards, that feeds in.
Right. I mean, we all have, but yeah. I don't know that they all fall into the Jimmy.
Yeah,
there were some Houston people in there, too. There were several Texas people.
We're going to get there. So Becerra sang Breathe from In the Heights, and Barón performed This Is Not Over Yet from Parade. There was evidently three cities that did Parade this year, which is, it seemed kind of odd for high school because it's so dark.
Well,
so very dark.
Dark times.
And lovely, and the music is beautiful. Well, good. Well, I'm glad, David, you're on. You educated me. I'm going to do some further research. But let's go take a break while we listen to In the Heights. It won't be long now. This is from the Broadway. And this is, oh my God, I just lost her name. Somebody will text me her name from the Broadway production. Here it is. We'll be right back.
The elevated train by my window doesn't faze me anymore.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa Sheps, and
Matrix Kilgore,
and
Carlo Garcia,
and
David Jarrett.
There you go. Well, good. We're gonna shift to speak to Carlo and David about their upcoming show from Jarrett Productions called Pet Dick. And I, When I read the description of this, I just loved it. It seems like so much fun. And Carlo, you are the writer of this piece.
I am the writer of this piece.
Tell folks what it is.
Yeah. So, you know, David had reached out to me, I think in the December of last year, saying we should probably do some more digital stuff. And if anybody has a script, and I was like, well, I've got this idea. It's a little kooky. It's a little zany. It's a little outside of the box in terms of what Jarrett Productions traditionally does. But I think that digital theater and the digital space allows for us to be a little bit more creative and flexible. So I went from an old joke about a pet detective, and I went to the drawing board and I decided I was going to draw this entire world around this young guy who's trying to create a serious audio documentary, and he discovers these tapes in a Goodwill, and it's all these old recordings of a 1960s pet detective. So it's kind of got this noir quality to it, but for some reason he talks like he's in the 40s, but he lives in the 60s. And so this audio documentarian, this young audio documentarian, finds these tapes in the Goodwill and listens to them and just studies them and decides, I'm going to create a audio documentary, not a podcast, about this character, right?
Specifically, not a podcast.
So I was like, this is going to be just a mashup of a lot of different things. You know, you kind of have your Raymond Carver, like, you know, 60s noir with that 40s throwback gangster dialogue, but then kind of mash it up with, you know, modern day podcast culture. Like, well, why is every story important? And just really, really lean into like the ridiculousness of both worlds. So that's kind of the genesis of that idea, came from kind of doing a mashup and something that would be fun for characterizations for actors and actresses in town, performers in town, to have, you know, fun with these roles and also just be a little silly. I know, I think the time that we live in right now, we could enjoy just a little bit of fun and humor in the world, because everything has kind of gone down the tubes.
This is true. So you said in the very beginning of your description that this was, it started with a joke. Mm-hmm. Is it a joke that you can share on the air?
There was a web series that I wrote with my wife, Natalie, and
Natalie Garcia, guest of this show.
Amazing partner in my life. And one of the characters that we had these two pet detectives, and they were affectionately called pet dicks. Because it's a short code for a detective.
Well, we're going to hear that.
Yeah, we're going to hear that later. But
yes, don't give it away.
And I didn't. And I wanted to do more with those characters because I thought they were really funny. Because they leaned into like this, where we're investigating pet crimes, and I always thought this, like, well, what kind of pet crimes can they be investigating? You know,
my dog perpetrated many.
I'm sure. A lot of trespassing, I'm assuming. But I was like, well, what if it was? We take the true crime element of that, and really this one detective is so into pet murders. Like, he just assumes that every single pet that dies has been murdered. And I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, cool. Well, you've got some recordings. Do we want to start listening to any of these?
Sure, we can do that. We have an amazing cast of a baker's dozen of Austin's finest actors.
That's 13 for those of you that don't know what a baker's dozen is. and Carla was counting them.
So we're going to hear a few of them today. We've taken some excerpts from episode one. It is an episodic audio documentary. There are six episodes. And episode one premieres next Thursday, the 7th of July. And every episode begins with this documentarian, whose name is Colin Wessler, and he's living in the basement of his mother's home. Her name is Julia. And so this is what the beginning of each episode will sound like.
Okay, let's listen.
Do, 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 do. Welcome. I'm Colin Wessler, and this is Pet Dick, The Found Tapes, an audio documentary exploring the investigations of Jerry Labinowitz through the audio recordings he left behind. Each week, we'll examine one side of these 50-year-old cassettes as Jerry unravels a mystery in real time. The year is 1969. The place? Rural Lincoln, Illinois. Our hero, a private investigator by the name of Jerry Labinowitz, begins recording his investigations, documenting a series of unexplained deaths that have transpired in his community. Over the course of 20 years...
Honey, would you like some pizza rolls?
Mom, I'm recording.
Oh, sorry, hon. I didn't mean to disturb your little podcast thingy.
Mom, I love you, but it's not a podcast. It's an audio documentary.
Right, right. Sorry. Audio documentary. Well, there's pizza rolls.
Okay, you can leave the plate over there. Thank you.
They are very hot, so be careful. Make sure to blow on them extra well so you don't burn yourself. You don't want to be podcasting with a burnt tongue. Okay, have fun.
Note to editor, please edit out that last exchange. Thank you.
Well, the editor did not listen.
So, eventually, Colin does get through his opening statement and he plays the first episode of the tape. This is where we first meet Jerry, who records everything that he does. And he's in Larry's Diner. And we also hear this first little bit with him and the waitress.
Okay, here is part two.
Jerry, this is you. Jerry speaking. It's May 9th, 1969. The time is 10:17 a.m. I'm sitting here at Larry's Diner and Grill in Lincoln, Illinois. Your typical egg and java joint where the patterned tile floor has the maple syrup kiss to your soles like a sailor slobbing a kitten at the end of his shore leave. As you know, this past month has been slower than a motorized hot dog cart at a speedway. But my gumshoe senses are a-tingling. The new calling cards came back from the print shop, and I'll be using this new doohickey to keep record of our going-ons. The waitress is headed your way, Pot of Joe in hand. She's a tall communion wafer of a dame, about 80 pounds sloppy wet with all the jingle jangles of a Taylor or a Hepburn or a Peter Pan in a Monroe wig.
Hey, mister, more coffee?
Is it free?
Yes, sir. Warm-up's on the house.
In that case, fill her to the brim. I don't partake in the cow juice, so like the brim. Note to Jerry, free refills on the Joe.
What's that thingamabob? You some kind of cop or something?
No, I don't trust cops. I'm a dick.
Oh, you seem all right to me.
Apologies, miss. We use dick in the biz. It's shorthand for detective, PI, gumshoe, sleuth.
Is that so? I find murder so fascinating. I'm always sweeping the paper for the latest murder gossip. Oh, did you hear about the Harperson murder-suicide over in Mattoon? Husband lost it all betting on the ponies at the Bangtails, came home, popped his wife, then fancied himself up in a Russian necktie. Did you work on that one, mister?
I don't do humans. I'm a pet dick.
So, like poodles and tabbies and tweeties and stuff?
Bingo bango. It's a smaller sandlot, sure. But as E.E. Cummings once said, do what you love and you'll love what you do. And me, I love animals. 98% of the time, they're a cut above humans.
Well, hold on just a second. I got to turn your microphone. You're just itching to talk because he knew I was going to say stuff. He says, I'm going to talk before she does. Go ahead, David.
So now we've met Detective Jerry Labinowitz. And a few minutes later, another woman comes into the diner, Paula McFlint. And this is where the mystery of Mr. Fluffy Pants really begins.
Mr. Fluffy Pants.
How you doing today, Paula?
Awful. Just awful, dear. My sweet little baby passed away this morning.
Oh, no, not Mr. Fluffy Pants.
Afraid so. Mr. Fluffy Pants is playing fetch with the angels now.
Oh, Paula, hon, I'm so sorry for your loss.
I'll have a Denver omelet and an orange juice. Thank you.
Sure thing, sugar. It's on the house.
Pardon the prying. Paula, was it? I couldn't help picking up something about possibly a pup passing on to paradise, perhaps.
Yes. My dear Mr. Fluffy Pants floated up to the big dog park in the sky.
Such a pity. If you don't mind me poking, how did he pass?
I guess she died from old age.
Mr. Fluffy Pants is a bitch.
She was. Cute little bitch, too.
Yes. Was. Was. Past tense, Paula. Past tense. I can't believe she won't be around to warm my toes.
This may be hard to hear, ma'am.
but in my experience, it's very rare for animals to just die of old age.
What do you mean, Mr. Dick Detective?
Well, when you've been in the pet dick biz for as long as I have, you get wise to the fact that many of our beloved pets are blipped off.
Blipped off?
Bopped.
Bopped?
Chilled.
Chilled.
You know, Paula, murdered.
Okay. That was so much fun. I wanted to talk between each one. But what fun. I have to say, it seems the writing is lovely. And I want to hear who's in the cast. But before I hear that, how much fun was this to write, Carlo?
Oh, it was so much fun to write. I was just thinking of, like, what are the most ridiculous things and turns of phrases that I can throw into this? Because it's so playful and fun. And we all kind of have, like, some, memory of a 1940s detective, you know, drama, true crime. And there's always these weird turns of phrases, you know, that make no sense. But at some point, they are... they're true, or they were a phrase of that time. And I wanted to create some of those that were just completely ridiculous. And then throwing in things like alliteration and having fun with it just because, you know, you could. And that's why everything is so descriptive as well, because it is audio. I wanted to have, you know, Detective Jerry describing everything into his tape recorder so that he remembers. But then you get the fun, you know, adjectives and descriptions of every character that he meets because he wants to remember them. So it just allows for that in the audio theater world to be able to have and create the world and the images for people who are listening from all these super descriptive wordings and the way that it was written.
Well, that's wonderful. It sounds like you did a really good job doing that. David, could you tell us the baker's dozens of actors that are performing in this?
Sure. The ones that we heard today were Jason Graff, who plays Detective Jerry, and Colin is played by Will Douglas. His mother, Julia, is played by Amanda Cooley Davis. The waitress in Larry's Diner is Amber Quick, and Paula McFlint is played by Valenicia Tolbert. We also have Natalie Garcia, Aaron Shalaba, Raul Garza, Kelsey Mazak, Mike Wee, Tucker Shepherd, Sam Domino, and Roderick Sanford. And the amazing sound designer and mixer and editor is Craig Brock, who helps us create all of this world, and just brings it alive with all of the magic that he does in post-production. And there's also a lot of other surprises coming because you're actually going to go to Colin's website.
Lovely. So are they going to come out weekly?
Yes. We dropped the first episode on July 7th, and every week there's a new episode through and including August 11th. So but they'll always be there. So if you miss a week or if you come into it late,
you can go back and And where do folks go to get information about this?
Well, it just so happens they can go to jarrettproductions.com.
And that's two R's and two T's.
It is indeed.
In case anybody wanted to know. Well, it sounds like an amazing piece. I can't wait to do it. And you've put together an incredible group of people. Yeah. Matrix, do you have any questions for these two?
Those are some of my favorite actors in town. So this is a baker's dozen of talent.
Yeah, we had a great time.
A BD
with
of T.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had amazing success last summer with our digital stage productions. And mm-hmm. So Carlo, as he mentioned earlier, I contacted him. I said, well, I want to do something that's episodic rather than just a one. I want people to come back and enjoy this over the course of the summer. And I guess I had just been reading about and hearing about Only Murders in the Building. So I said, what about a murder mystery? Yeah. And the rest is now audio documentary history.
There you go. We're wonderful. Carlo and David, thank you so much for being on Offstage and On the Air. I cannot wait to listen to this.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we're going to be right back. I had really fun finding a song to play on this. You'll listen to it. I'll tell you when we come back from the break. Here it is.
The name's a shot. Detective a shot.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We just had a great conversation with David Jarrett and Carlo Lorenzo Garcia and their show called Pet Dick. That was a a song called Detective a Shot, which is spelled in a different... It's when you read it, you think it's going to be pronounced differently. It's from a musical called Daddy and Sons by Anthony Ferreira, but I could not find any information about the musical.
I was like, I've never heard of it, but after that, I want to look it up.
Me too. Well, I do want to say that we've switched people here. We have a whole group of other people here. Let me just introduce everybody. Timothy Allen. Oh, you know what? I need to turn your microphone on. And you guys want to speak right into the microphone.
Yes, ma'am. All right. My name's Timothy Allen.
Wonderful. Joshua Nunez.
Right over here.
Okay. Tom Swift.
Hey, Lisa.
And Sebastian Garcia.
Hello.
Awesome. Well, before we start talking about your show, because I know that's why you're here, we're going to just take a moment to talk about some of the local stuff that's happening. You're welcome to join in the conversation. I did want to say that I got the pleasure of going to see Running Bear over, and that's the Raul Garza piece. And Tom, if you want to speak, you got to speak right into the microphone.
I was just whispering. Yep. I was just whispering Hyde Park.
Yeah. Well, it's done at Hyde Park. It's written by Raul Garza, who was one of the Baker's Dozen of actors on this thing. And it's a really beautiful piece. Has anybody seen it?
No, Running I haven't. My Sarah saw two-hander. It, and she can't stop talking about it.
Yeah, Sarah's wonderful. We love her. It's a good piece. The set by Mark Piquel is a bridge, which was just beautiful. I loved the set. And it was directed by... I was about to say Bridget Ferris, but that's not it. It's... Rosalind Ferris.
I was like, it's Rosalind. Yeah,
I know. My poor little old addled brain. But she did an awesome job. And it had, and I'm going by memory because I don't have it written down here. It had Michael Trejo and a young woman. I don't know her name. She was amazing. Sorry, that person I can't remember was very good.
Story of my life.
Yeah, and directed, of course, by Ken Webster over Hyde Park. Really nice. I think this would be the last weekend for folks to catch it. HydeParkTheater.org. And as we spoke earlier, I wanted to talk about Shrek the Musical, having it at the Buda Amphitheater. And I turned off my computer, so I had it. It is... it's a school. It's Central Texas something acting school that's putting it on. Oh, and wow. It's done outdoors in Buda. And I know Melissa, and I found out about it because of Melissa Vogt of the Vortex. And she is playing Fiona.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice. It has to be nice and cool out there right now.
Yeah. Mama's not a big fan of going to the outdoor stuff. But
what
I will
talking
do it.
About it. It got down to 90 yesterday.
I know. Central Texas Theater Academy. And it's also in partnership with the City of Buda and Inspired Mind Art Center. Shrek the Musical. It's a lovely piece. It's playing July 1st through 16th at 8 p.m. And it just looks... Has anybody ever seen it?
Yes, sure. I love Shrek. I love the movie, and I love the musical.
I haven't seen the musical. Of course, everybody has seen the movies.
Yes. I love the movie. I love all three of the movies, actually. And the musical is good. It starred one Sutton Foster on Broadway. Brian D'Arcy James played, yes. I believe, the ogre
Lord
in
Farquaad.
Question. No, I think he was Shrek. Who played... Was it Brian D'Arcy Drains who played Farquaad? Who played Shrek?
I don't know. He was great.
Brian D'Arcy Drains. Okay, well, we'll see. People will text. If Nicole is here screaming
she
at
will
us in
fact
in the
check
world.
Us.
Someone play Shrek.
Yeah, so that is basically what I want to talk about. Do you have anything locally you want to focus on, tell folks about?
Oh, gosh.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Putting me on the spot now. Now everything that I had in my brain is leaking out. No, I don't have
that's how it works.
Well, the one good thing that's going on here in Austin is things are picking up again. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on. And
there's lots of arts happening and a lot of dance pieces also going on.
I'm going to see Heartbreak House tonight.
Mm. Oh, it's so good.
Oh,
it's
did you like
so
it?
So good.
Oh, good. Did you feel the 3 hours?
No, I did not.
Okay, Tom. Well, I will see if I agree with you.
I was edge of my seat the whole time.
I will call you tomorrow and find out what
I'll
we think.
I'll be happy to discuss it with you. it's quite the cast, quite the understanding. It's Will has a new
Will Douglas, who directed
it. Will Douglas has a whole new way of dealing with George Bernard Shaw, and thank God someone finally has done that.
Well,
it is still Shavian as can be. It's truly Shaw, but it's truly new and
awesome. Well, that's
it's his directing debut. He's absolutely fantastic. Right.
That is quite the compliment for him. So I'm going to see it, and I'm going to see Blacks on. I've got a ticket for Sunday, but I'm going to try to go, I think, tomorrow night to see Blacks at the New Manifest Theater. It's also outdoors. I did buy a ticket for last Sunday, or so I thought, and I showed up, and it was like dark and closed and everything. And because I don't see social media, I did not know that had canceled because of a COVID.
Is this the last weekend for that?
I think this is the last weekend. Mm. So I am really looking forward to seeing that. Well, let's just go ahead and take a break. We're going to listen to a bright, beautiful world from that actor we cannot remember. Maybe we'll hear it and be triggered as to the actual person. And then we're going to come back and talk about some French bar. We'll be right back.
We're ugly son, which means that life is harder.
So now we're here to talk about City Theater. I'm going to reintroduce everybody. City Theater is doing Picasso at the Lapin Agile. And we have a plain Picasso, Timothy Allen.
Hello. Thanks for having
me. How are you? Plain Picasso. That's quite
He's actually playing, I'm actually Einstein. Playing
Einstein. I heard my name.
Oh, you know what? This is a cut and paste from Andy Berkowski.
Yeah, well.
So he thinks you're playing Einstein.
Oh, that explains a lot here.
Oh, no, you know what?
Let's go ahead and make that switch.
No, it's not Andy's fault. It's mine. Never mind.
No, it's all good. I'm Einstein. Here's Picasso over here.
Oh, no, Andy was wrong. Picasso is Joshua Nunez.
Yep. Yes.
Tom Swift is Gaston. Oui. And the visitor is Sebastian Garcia.
The mysterious final act visitor.
I'm surprised you didn't say thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, am I allowed to?
Well, we don't want to give away too much.
Right. I try to be modest.
Okay, so this is a Steve Martin play that was written about 20 years ago called Picasso and the Lapin Agile, about Picasso and Einstein meeting in this bar in Montmartre. So somebody tell us about the play other than what I just said.
Well, comedy by
right
Steve
into
Martin.
The microphone right
oh,
here.
Oh, well, it's Maltron. Steve Martin wrote it. He is brilliant. He puts a lot of layers into it and touches on... a lot of topics that should keep dinner conversation very interesting.
So give us the nickel tour of the plot. So we know that Picasso and Einstein meet in this bar, but what else?
I mean, that's pretty much it, you know. Picasso and Einstein meet at a bar and ... What's going to be the best about this?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that it happens... So the play takes place like 1904, 1905, right before... Einstein releases his special theory of relativity, and Picasso paints the four women
Demoiselles d'Avignon.
I've read it and I've seen it.
So it's kind of like these two guys right before they sort of explode and meet each other in kind of similar places. I what I appreciate about it is that it's sort of a melding of the influence of art and science and music, and how kind of a commentary on how that can and will continue to affect our culture, layered in Steve Martin, you know, kind of absurdist humor sort of at the same time.
That's my favorite part about it, is how it looks at science and art and the way they weave together in some way, all within this Steve Martin
absolutely
world.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to add,
I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead. I was just going to add that there's a really wonderful treatment of relationships that, along with all of the big picture of science and art, which these two guys represent, Freddie and Germain, the owners of La Pin Agile, which is a real bar. I mean, Picasso.
I've seen pictures.
Picasso actually hung out there with other artists, etc. That it's about their relationship and her relationship with Picasso, and so between her relationship with Freddie and Picasso. It's about three major ships sailing through this ocean of Steve Martin's windy mind.
Well, and does not commerce play a pretty big part of this as well? Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're right. If I can just... the art dealer represents the commerce.
Sure.
And his relationship with the artists.
Awesome. And this is, there's also other characters, obviously.
It's very much an ensemble kind of performance, mm-hmm. you know, even though Einstein and Picasso sort of are the title characters-ish, it's really, it's about everybody that's in that bar that evening and how they're all influenced by these two guys.
Can I just mention their names?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
This is an amazing cast. Ray Crawford and Hulsman. David Jarrett was just in here, and I were in for Peter Pan on her 70th birthday
Saw
in
it.
The same space.
Saw
She's
it.
An amazing actor. Kyle Romero, who plays the art dealer, unbelievable. Holly Super Garrison, funny. Who's so pretty you'll just dream about her. Peyton Trahan plays Schmendemann.
Oh, he's got to give some special love to Schmendemann. You guys will love him.
He's excellent.
There you go. He's unbelievable. And he's there for what, 4 minutes? And he just steals the show. I hate him. Angelina Castillo plays the, she's double cast. She plays the female admirer and the countess, who is Einstein's date. And then, of course, the Lupina Gilles itself is yet another character. So that's the company. They're
lovely.
Amazing.
Good and translated, it is the Nimble Rabbit, well which done. I think is perfect for this play and the discussion of life in the 20th century.
I have a friend who calls it Jumping Bunnies.
Interesting you should say that. That was my sorority name in college.
Whoa!
Y'all you're going to do a little scene for us. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure.
Who's doing the scene?
It's a bit, so Picasso and I, Einstein and Picasso. It's just a little bit kind of towards, I don't know, right at the end of the first act-ish.
Okay. Yeah, we really get to see each other's, picking each other's brains in this particular thing that we're about to do. So
great. So this is Timothy Allen and Joshua Nunez doing a scene from City Theater's Picasso at the Le Pont en Gilles.
Do you know why the sun doesn't revolve around the earth? Because the idea isn't beautiful enough. If you're trying to prove that the sun revolves around the earth in order to make the theories fit the facts, you have to have the planets moving backwards and the sun doing loop-de-loops. It's too ugly. It's way ugly.
So you bring a beautiful idea into being?
Yes, we create the system and see if the facts can fit it.
So you are not describing the world as it is?
No, we are creating a new way of looking at the world.
Oh, so you're saying you dream the impossible and bring it into effect?
Exactly.
Brother!
Brava! That, you know what that sounded like to me? That sounded like Einstein and Picasso. It's pretty amazing. Well, we should say that this happens in 1904. So we're seeing these are 20-year-olds.
Yeah, they're about 25-ish. Yeah, 24.
So, 25. You know, I know that I would assume that, you know, because I represent the entire world, that when I close my eyes and I think of these two men, I see old guys.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And there's even a mention of that. There's kind of a nod towards the notion of Einstein not looking 25.
Yeah.
The idea that we've all have him sort of permanently affixed in our head as being this like 86-year-old white-haired guy. You know,
what excites me is them right. It's like right before they've made their major.
Yeah, they don't even realize
who they are.
How great they are. Yeah, exactly.
So, Sebastian, I'm intrigued. I want to hear about the visitor. Can you tell us without spoiling anything about him?
Well.
And what role he plays in this piece?
Well, where Einstein is science and Picasso is art, the visitor is music and maybe more of a broad idea of romance. You know, the best way he can describe himself is that he's someone who sings songs about love.
Sings songs about love. And there might be a movie.
Yes,
there might be.
Let's just say that I now have a character in common with Kurt Russell, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, and Austin Butler.
Ah, there you go.
A quick IMDb search, and you know who we're talking about now.
Those guys should be so lucky to be as good as Sebastian.
Yeah.
I love you.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. So, who are some of the? This is as we know. Did Andy direct this? Andy Perkowski, is he the director?
He directed it. Yeah, he's also the artistic director.
Of City Theater, we know that. He's so prolific. He's on here all the time, and he used to be. The theater used to be right next door to the studio,
right?
So this show is not happening at that theater because it doesn't exist anymore,
right?
Where is it happening?
We're at the Trinity Street Playhouse downtown.
Yeah, and I should say, folks get nervous about going downtown and parking. There is so much parking over there at Trinity Street; it's crazy.
A ton. Yeah.
So don't let parking make you fearful of going and visiting Trinity Street because that's not the reason.
It's one of my favorite places to park downtown.
Me too. I've never had to circle the block looking for parking. So who else? So who's some of the other creatives that are part of this? Anybody you can share with us that y'all know of?
The other creatives.
You need to get right up into the microphone, Tom.
Other creatives. We've kind of skipped over Andy's role in this, I think. If ever there was a director that wants to collaborate with actors, that enjoys actors, he's just eager to say, we'll try it. If you want to do something, do it. We'll watch it a couple of times. If it doesn't quite get there, we'll do something else. But he's very quick to say, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. You know, he's as much a suggester as he is I have worked with directors who are kind of puppeteerish.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy is the exact opposite.
Sure, I think a good director is an editor rather than a puppeteer.
He would say the same thing, I bet. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And
I taught Andy everything he knows.
And for the next 10 minutes, what did you do? Oh, I'm sorry. No, you just set me up with stupid jokes like that. Now, he's the creatives are what Andy brings out of the cast. Dawn is a heck of a costumer. She has made this show look like nobody's business.
And what is Dawn's last name?
Oh, why you have to ask me this? I've met the lady twice. She's a costumer. I'm an idiot. So that's not fair.
Okay.
She is the regular costumer for City Theater. So okay. I'm sorry. Dawn, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'll introduce myself this weekend.
Well, folks can go to citytheateraustin.org, and y'all can click on the link and see. I'm sure that Andy has the whole team up there on the website
absolutely.
That you can see.
Yeah.
What questions have you for this nimble group of actors?
Nimble.
Oh, this it's nimble group, right? what is it like? Because I'm getting the vibe that these people come into the bar, right? And from various different times. How has that alchemy of the ensemble really been from the beginning with you all?
Loads of fun.
Interesting choice of words, alchemy. That's one of the things that Picasso feels about Matisse, that he sees this competitor see his work and he says, I hate him. It's alchemy. You do it. Talk about what you say about Matisse.
Yeah, you know, he's like Tom was just saying, he's a rival of Picasso's at that particular time when we're trying to outdo one another, but we appreciate, you know, the spirit of the art world within each other. But when you're trying to overlap somebody, it's easy to get extremely upset and jealous of someone else's artistic vision, you know, when they're really trying to get involved. But as far as the ensemble itself, it's a fantastic group of people who understand what their role is in the world that we have created for ourselves, and that Andy was able to create for us as well, that Steve Martin, you know, wrote down. But
And what do you and say I, about Matisse that you hate him? What's that? That few lines. I hate him. This is hot.
Yeah. So he sees a painting that's getting brought into it, and he wants to chuck it at the wall so badly, but he can't. So
but only because
it's
he likes
alchemy.
It so much.
It's sizzling
right?
hot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you right, go. Because he loves it. It's a very Mozart Salieri kind of relationship. We have to end right now. Can you tell me when this show opens?
It opened last weekend.
Last Friday.
Opened last weekend. When do y'all play? When do you close?
We play through July 17th. Mm-hmm. It's Friday, Saturday, 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoons. At
Thursdays now, too.
Thursdays also. Thursday, Friday, what? Saturday.
Thursday,
eight.
Friday,
okay.
Saturday.
Good. So go to the website,
what?
Which is citytheater.org, uh-huh. citytheateraustin.org to get more information. Thank you guys for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Fun to be here.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, that was Timothy Allen, Joshua Nunez, Tom Swift, and Sebastian Garcia of City Theaters, Picasso in the in the Le Pont en Gilles, and it is playing now through July 17th.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Macy Butler, for your wonderful performance.
And we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
And now, relatively speaking, something's relatively
okay,
here.
That was a very lively and talkative group.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need it. There you go.
There we go.
Well, Matrix Kilgore, thank you so much for playing with me here today.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope this isn't our last time.
Well, I keep asking. Not for me want of asking. So you'll come back and you'll join us. And you can actually come anytime. You can actually join Nicole and I anytime you like.
That is a party I would like to be a part of.
Awesome. Well, that's it for our show today. We are all done. And we're going to make way for a brand new show to this slot, the Austin Common Radio Hour with John Hoffner, also joined by Amy Stansberry and Jane Pulaski. And it is, I believe, and I've got John Hoffner right here just trying to steal a microphone away from me like DJ Mark used to do. This is a show where we interview everyday people. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Lisa. And it actually is not a new show. It's an old show with a new time, but that's okay. We've been moved to 2 p.m. every Wednesday to follow you, Lisa, and I'm so excited. So we do. We interview regular people doing great things for the common good of the community.
Awesome. Me too. Well, it shows you how well I'm, now that I don't work at the radio station, how well I know our lineup. I'm terrible. Well, I'm excited that they will be following us now. Hopefully, John's got big shoes to fall into. DJ Mark was really good at stealing that microphone away from me. And Matrix, thanks once again.
I loved it.
Okay. And Nicole will be joining me back again next week. And in the meantime, we will see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
5, 6, 7, 8. One change.
Singular.